Alrighty, take your Bibles, please. Turn to the Gospel of Mark in chapter 17. Excuse me, John 17. Gospel of John, chapter 17. So John 17 is couched right in between John 16 and 18, because in chapter 19 is the crucifixion. So chapter 17 of John is where he's at Gethsemane. And it's a different rendition, different things that he was praying in some of the other Gospels. But here we see the heart of Jesus. And he's talking about us. Imagine that. Our Savior knows what's going to happen to him that night. He's not getting any sleep. He's getting arrested. He's going to be put on a cross the next day. So they've already taken the Last Supper. And in John 17, we see that he wants unity with his followers, his believers in revival. And that's what we need is revival. Everybody does need personal revival. We need revival in our church. We need revival in our country and in the world. Our Heavenly Father, bless as we study your word this morning. May we allow the Holy Spirit to change us to see what is important in life because of what was important in Jesus's prayer to you, Lord. I pray that you might bless in the preaching. In Jesus' name, amen. John 17, pick it up at verse 9, if you would, please. I'm going to read the rest of the chapter almost. Let's go back to 8. He's praying to the Father, and he says, "For I have given unto them," that is, the believers, he's talking about us, "I have given unto them the words." Of course, you got your pen out, so you need to underline words, because that's what Jesus is interested in. Don't change the words. He said, "I gave them the words." Not some other words, the words that make up the Word of God. And have known them surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these," talking about you, "these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father." That's right, God is the only Holy Father. Nobody in the church. "Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me." So here he's talking about keeping. Not only did he give us eternal life, but he keeps it for us also through his name, "that they may be one as we are." He's talking about unity, the simplest number in the world, one. "While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled, talking to Judas. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them by thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Second time he said that. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Boy, it all rests in that one verse. Everything about salvation, everything you believe. There is truth in this life. And Jesus Christ, being God, he tells us what the truth is. The word. That's the one that he gave the words, individual words, that make up the word, truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they might, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. In other words, he's not praying even for the ones that just are alive while he's alive. He said for those that will come. He's talking about us. Them also which believe on me through their word, that they may all be one, unity again. As thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one. Here it is again. Even as we are one, I and them, and thou and me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Interesting. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee. And these have known that thou hast sent me. The unity of revival. Amazing. It's the most important prayer in the Bible. It's the last time that he's talking to God the Father. God the Son praying to God the Father. He is God, but he's in flesh. And it's the last things that he's saying to his Father before they come and arrest him. And Judas betrays him in the next chapter. And of course, that all talks about the judgment and everything in chapter 19. Then finally, the crucifixion as well. So that's an important prayer, no doubt about it. It's a farewell prayer. Jesus had this be part of The last things, not only to God the Father, but for everyone else that was listening. We don't know who else was listening, but someone was. John wrote this. He heard him. He heard what Jesus said in this prayer. That's how we got the Word of God. And in this chapter we just read, it discloses love, security, unity. Those three things. This is discipleship. Yet we can accept and experience it. Loving family relationship. That's what he's talking about. He's praying for us, the family, the spiritual family, and for them that were alive at that time, the apostles and believers. Part of God's family. Keep your place here. Go to Hebrews chapter 7, please. Hebrews chapter 7. And in verse 24, talking of Jesus, he says, "But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him," not by anything else, "seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." So not only did he do it in this prayer that night, he's doing that all the time. He's making intercession for us every day of our life. "He ever liveth to make intercession for them." Even if people don't pray for me, I know that Jesus is praying for me. He's interceding. How many times do we mess up? Huh? If he wasn't keeping us, we'd be lost. But he intercedes. Just when God the Father wants to wipe me off the face of the earth because of my sin, Jesus says, "Father, my blood covers him. I paid for his sin. He belongs to me. He's in our family." So just like Moses did in the Old Testament when God wanted to wipe out the whole nation of Israel, Moses interceded for those people and reminded God that these are your people, God. And that's what he does in the scriptures, it says, that we just read. So it's a sample of the present intercessory prayer and activity that's going on. It's powerful. It's eloquent. It's a joyous prayer. He's ready to die, and he has joy because he's dying for us. He knows what the future holds. He knows what he's going to have to go through and suffering, but he also knows he's going to rise the third day. He said it over and over again to the apostles, "I will rise that third day." And so he already knows that. He's got joy in his prayer. And that's what it needs to be in your prayer too. This is a sample prayer. You want to talk about the Lord's Prayer? This is the Lord's Prayer. Not Matthew chapter 6, you know, "Our Father which art in heaven." No. That's just an outline of what should be in your prayer. All of those different things. But the real Lord's Prayer is right here in John 17 that we're studying this morning. He longs for us to have unity, to be one in our doctrine, that is what we believe, our mission, what we're supposed to be doing while we're down here on earth, in our fellowship. He wants that all to be in order. Let everything be done decently and in order, tells us in 1 Corinthians 14:40. So even as we fellowship together, we need to be orderly. That would kind of do away with a lot of churches that, it seems like everything's out of order. It's wild. So first of all, we need to have unity in doctrine. Who remembers what Amos 3:3 says? Not you. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Unity. And we need to have that in our doctrine. Where do we get our doctrine? Out of the Bible. And of course the world has gotten their hold on the Bible and made all of these false Bibles out here that everybody reads rather than the King James. They're not in unity. Not in unity with the truth. It was only the words that Jesus gave us. We just saw that in the prayer. That's the ones that are translated into the King James Version. Coming right out of the Textus Receptus. Yeah, we need to be in unity about our being militant. We need to be militant Christians, not just sitting on the sidelines. The game of life, the race we are to run. You can't be sitting in the grandstands. You need to be running. You need to be fighting. Fighting for the truth. But not, you see, we need to be militant, but not arrogant. We need to be magnanimous, over the top good, not holier than thou. We need not to be a know-it-all. We need not to be antagonistic or pugilistic. Pugilistic, like a boxer, you're always wanting to knock somebody out. But firm in our scriptures and in our convictions and in our love, in our spirit to the Lord. Put your bulletin there in John 17 again and go over to Ephesians chapter 4, please. The book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 15. Mr. Drake loves this verse. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, from whom the whole body, talking about the church, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love. The church is Christ's body. Says it over and over again. New Testament. It's a special assembly. It's a special gathering together. That's what we are to do on the first day of the week, as well as other times. We need not to make that not a priority. We may need to have priorities in our life. Going to church to fellowship with our brothers and sisters. It's to be the priority, not take it or leave it. Oh, it's not so important. Whatever. You want to find fault, you can find fault in any church. You can find fault in any preacher. All you're looking for is excuses not to be in church. That's not unity. Your heart is not right with God. Just like the hymn that we sung there, the backslider song, amen, that we sung. We've maybe gone through some of that within our life, where we got away from God, and got away from the church and so forth. But then you repent, you get your life right for the Lord. Paul's example right here in the church, because this is a church epistle, Ephesians. Paul's example is patient with a loving attitude to the ignorant, but refusing to tolerate heresies. False preachers, false doctrine, has got to be dealt with firmly and quickly. When you get a false cult coming to your door, whether it be Mormon, Jehovah's Witness, or anything else you could dream up, after they're doing their spiel with you and you're talking to them, don't ever wish them Godspeed when they leave your door. You don't want the blessing of God on what they're spewing out. Just going against God's word. 2 John 10 tells you that. Look at Ephesians 4 right there again. Look at verse 1. Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. What are we supposed to be like? With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, you don't quit, forbearing one another in love. There's a lot of things you're going to have to put up with those that aren't right with God in church as well. Forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all, talking about the Holy Spirit as well. So Christian love is what's going to produce spiritual unity. It's a miracle that only God can do. It brings revival. We get revived. We should, when we're hearing the truth, when we're hearing good, pure doctrine, what's right. And that's what we need to believe as well. That's what Jesus said in his prayer. In other words, we need to feel the heartbeat of Jesus. You in unity with Jesus. You in unity with one another. Four times in that prayer, he prayed for you. He prayed for unity. Four times. We're painfully aware of the division that is within churches, the gathering of God's people. And that division will fragment the believers. Because what? It's made of the flesh, not the Spirit. As we come together, we need to be in the Spirit. In Revelation 1, it starts out, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. That's what John said. And we need to understand that we aren't here for the flesh. We're here for the Spirit. We need to have unity in the Spirit. We need to be in agreement about what's true and what isn't. That's why we say amen when I preach. That's why we say amen after Mrs. Drake or anybody else uses their talent in singing or an instrument or whatever. We need to be full of amens. You need to open your mouth. We need to be in unity. So be it. Go to Romans chapter 8 if you would, please. Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So right off the bat, you know there's two things going on there. Flesh and spirit. Some believers get in the flesh and they're not spiritually minded. They get angry. They want everything their way. They're carnal. They're fleshy. That's what carnal means. You know, have you made chili con carne? Yeah. So it's not only the beans, but the flesh, the meat. That's where carnally comes from, carne. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You wonder why some believers don't have life. They seem like they're walking dead. And they don't have peace within their heart and life. They're afraid of everything. No, God will give you peace if you're spiritually minded. Verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity. That means war, enemies. The carnal mind is an enemy against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. They just want their own way. They're stubborn. They won't do right. Yeah, there are believers like that, believe it or not. In verse 8, so then they are not in the flesh. Those that are not in the flesh cannot please God. You can't. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. In other words, if you don't have the Holy Spirit living in you, you're not saved. You don't belong to Christ. He is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify, kill the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. How important it is to let the Holy Spirit that lives within you to guide you and lead you. Don't let your flesh, anything in your flesh, guide and lead you or stop you from following the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't listen to this world. Listen to the Word of God, what God said. You know, Paul warned about all of this in Acts chapter 20. And he said that there will be wolves that come into the church. They're going to act. They'll be in sheep's clothing. And they will divide the church. And say, so in Acts 20, you should be familiar with that. And he gathered the elders together and talked to them and warned them about that as well. What about your first love? The love you had for Jesus when you first got saved. You know what Jesus said to the church in Revelation? I have somewhat against you because you have left your first love. Get back to the wonderful love of Jesus in your life. You're right there in Romans. Go to chapter 16. Chapter 16, verse 17. He said, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them." Troublemakers, those that cause division. You find somebody speaking against our church, against the preacher, against somebody in our church, they are not bringing about unity like Jesus Christ said that there has to be unity. He said, don't hang around them. Don't talk to them. Don't talk to them on Facebook or the cell phone or anything else. He said, avoid them, is what he said in verse 17. Don't put up with that kind of stuff. That'll rob you of your song. That'll rob you of your joy. Splits churches, hurts the unity of the church, and the church is Christ's body. You're hurting Christ when you allow that to go along. Don't you go along and say amen to anybody that's trying to bad talk what's true. Go back to our text there in John 17. Point out a few more things and we'll close this morning. Look at verse 13. "And now come I unto thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in them." God doesn't want you walking around and out here with your chin dragging on the floor and everything else, and oh poor me, and just all of that kind of stuff. He said he gave you the example. If he can be joyful when he knows that he's going to get a lot of pain in a few hours, but he has joy, that's the kind of joy he wants you to have. That you'll have joy going through the things in life. You might not like them. The flesh doesn't like them. But the joy, spiritual joy, comes from Jesus. You can't have something artificial. It's got to be real. And for sure, right there he says, that my joy be fulfilled in themselves. Look at John 16, right there in the same page probably with you. John 16, verse 22. "And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you." Amen. If you're spiritual, they can't get at your joy. Don't get in the flesh. Don't listen to the world. Don't listen to false teachers and so forth. Watch out what you're watching on TV and YouTube and everything else going on out there. Make sure you have your spiritual and not carnal. Remember, to be carnally minded is death. A dead life. Oh, you're just existing. You're not doing anything for Christ. And so we need to be in unified in revival. We can have that. Now, right there in our text in John 17, look at verse 15. Verse 15. He said, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. He wants us to be pure. Pure in this world. What do the Roman Catholics do? They make a monastery way out away from everybody else, maybe up in the hills, or they want to get out of the world. That's what it's all about. Jesus said just the opposite. I don't want them out of the world. They're to be there to testify of me. That's why you're living today. You've got a job to do. We need to be unified in that. We need to have joy in our hearts as we do it as well. Nothing in the Christian life needs to be a drudgery. Get your heart right with God, you'll have joy. Be spiritual. Look at verse 18. We'll close here in a minute. Verse 18, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. He said, I haven't taken them out of the world. I don't pray for that. I pray that they'll go in the world and be a testimony. Amen. That's for us to do. We're sent. Verse 18 tells you that we're sent. Look at verse 19. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Nothing will separate you from evil better than the truth. You get your nose in the Bible and you read it every day, like we're doing as a church, that'll keep you out of trouble. Keep you in the truth. Do the right thing. Oh, the flesh doesn't like it. But you're not to be of the flesh. You're to be in the Spirit. Look at verse 22. He says, and the glory which thou givest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. We need to stand out, be different than the world, not be conformed to the world, Romans 12 tells us. Those things in the world, they're getting worse, aren't they? Evolution says man was so bad, now he's getting better. Boy, he was all of these different animals and a monkey, and then he was a horse, and he was doing all kinds of things. But now, boy, look at man. How good it is. Man only gets worse and worse. It's not getting better like evolution says. Man gets worse. So Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. We need to stand out and be different. I praise the Lord when I do see some sports figures and so forth. Did you notice that the quarterbacks in the Super Bowl, both of them are saved? They gave glory to God. What a blessing. The two top quarterbacks in the world are saved and unashamed Christians, living for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I like to see that. And there's some others as well. But we are to stand out. We're to use that platform, whatever God raises us to speak out for the Lord. One last verse, verse 23. Jesus said, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Jesus said, they will know you're my disciples by your love. And that's what Jesus prayed for. Now, we need not to be against each other. We need to be in unity together. Help us to get stronger in the things of God, not weaker. Heavenly Father, I pray that you might bless the word of God that had gone forth this morning, Lord. Only you know who's going to hear these words. Only you know who is in dire need of repenting in their life. If they're lost, to repent, to receive Christ. If they're saved, to repent, to be not carnal any longer, but spiritual and in unity. Help us to do that in our life. Apply what we learned this morning, for it came right from Jesus himself. Thank you, Lord, for putting up with us, for forgiving our sin, and every day standing up for us. Thank you for keeping us, giving us eternal life. Bless us as we try to do your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, take your hymn books, please.